Heard about a little boy who wanted a bicycle for Christmas. He said, "Mama, I really, 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 really want one for Christmas." She said, "Okay, well, why don't you pray for a bicycle?" Okay, so that night he went to his room and he knelt beside his little bed and he began to scream at the top of his lungs, "Please give me a bicycle for Christmas!" His mother goes in his room and says, "Baby, you don't have to scream. Jesus is not deaf." He said, "I know, Mommy, but Grandma is." I think she was trying to teach her son that Christmas is all about Jesus. And it's true. It's all about Him. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's not about the stuff. It's not about the decorations. It's not about the food. Christmas isn't Christmas without Jesus. And if you're struggling and stressed out this Christmas, let me help you out. Focus on Jesus. Life is much simpler when you keep your eyes on Him. Life is more satisfying when you keep your eyes on Him. Life is much better when you keep your eyes on Him. You don't get caught up in all the drama when you keep your eyes on Jesus. And guess what? You stay out of trouble when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Now let's look back at Isaiah 9:6. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His name will be called Wonderful. There's something about the name of Jesus. It's not like any other name. The Bible says that God has given Him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. One day when Peter and John were on the way to the temple to pray, as they went in, a man who couldn't walk was sitting at the gate begging for money. And Peter looked at him and said, "I don't have any money with me. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And that man was healed in his name. Jesus said, "In my name you will cast out devils and speak with other tongues and lay hands on the sick and they will recover." The Bible says that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Acts 2:21 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Jesus Himself said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." There is power in the name of Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name represents the fullness of the authority of God. His name is power to the believer. His name is our prayer line to heaven. It is our freedom from addiction. It is our healing from every sickness and every disease. It is our restoration from the brokenness in our lives. His name is help for today and hope for tomorrow. His name is a strong tower where we can run to in the time of trouble. His name is a lifeline for those who are drowning in sin. His name is rest for the weary and strength for the weak. His name is greater than sickness and stronger than poverty and greater than any curse. His name strikes fear in the enemy. Demons tremble at the mention of that name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I have to ask you this morning, do you know Him? If you don't know Him, you need to know Him. Because there's nobody like Jesus. He is the one and the only. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the apple of God's eye and the brightness of His glory. Jesus is the center of God's will and the delight of God's heart. He is the desire of all nations, the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid His life down for His sheep. Jesus is the only mediator between man and God. Jesus is the great physician, the Son of righteousness with healing in His wings. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is wonderful. Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Doing good deeds is not the way. Going to church is not the way. Living a good life is not the way. Buddha is not the way. Confucius is not the way. Hare Krishna is not the way. Muhammad is not the way. Mary is not the way. Donald Trump is not the way. Bernie Sanders is not the way. Jesus is the way, and he's the only way. There is no other Savior but him, and if you don't know him, you need to know him. His name will be called Wonderful. That Hebrew word is translated as wonderful is the word Pele. Somebody say Pele. It means something indescribably great. It's something so incredible, so amazing, that it's literally beyond description. Jesus is wonderful. He is indescribably great. The word wonderful quite literally means full of wonder. Jesus is filled with wonder. When we look at the life of Jesus, it doesn't take long before you see the many wonders of his life. And very quickly, I don't have time to go through all or even many, but today in our brief time, I'm going to give you three wonders that I see in the life of Jesus. Number one, I see the wonder of his birth. The thing that you've got to understand about the birth of Jesus is there's a lot more going on here than just a baby being born in a manger. There's something incredible taking place with the birth of Jesus. Let's look back at Isaiah 7:14. It says, the Lord himself will give a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That word Emmanuel is a big deal. It means God with us. God with us. There are critics who say Jesus was not born to a virgin. Y'all seen that on the History Channel? They like to play it every year. There are people who feel like they're so smart. They get up there and they say, well, the Hebrew word used for virgin in Isaiah 7:14 is the Hebrew word alma, which means virgin, but it also means young lady. So they say alma just means that, a young lady would have a son, and, that's all that means. There's nothing special about that. And it amazes me that these people call themselves experts because they haven't even read the rest of the Bible. They're missing the whole point. Okay, Jesus talked about people like that. He said, in seeing they do not see, and in hearing they do not hear. Look back at that verse. Here's the proof. There is right in the same verse. The Lord himself will give a sign. In other words, God is going to prove this to you by doing something that only he can do. If a young woman had a child, there would be nothing supernatural about that. This verse is talking about a miracle from God as a sign from God. Look at Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, History Channel, how can this be since I do not know a man? There it is. Mary says it like it is. How is this even possible? I have not had sexual relations with that man. Said Mary was telling the truth. Mary, by her own witness, proves that this was a sign from God. Her question to the angel proves the Bible was talking about a miracle here, folks. Either believe all of the Bible or don't believe any of it, right? Okay, if you don't believe the Bible, don't even get involved in the debate. Don't waste your time being somewhere in the middle. Okay, be one or the other. Either God is real or he's not. Either he's on the throne or he's not. Either Jesus is Lord or he's not. Either the Bible is true or it's nothing. Either heaven and hell are real or they're not. Amen. Don't be unaffiliated. Be one side or the other. I met my mom a long time ago. If I'm going to believe one word in the Bible, I'm going to believe all of it. All right, Isaiah 7:14. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. In the Old Testament, when God saved Israel, he sent people like Joseph and Moses and Deborah and Gideon. But when it came time for God to save the world, when it came time for God to save all of humanity, he sent no one. He came himself. Amen. John said it like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. When Jesus was born in that manger in Bethlehem for the first time in all eternity, God breathed air through human lungs. Wow. The great wonder of the birth of Jesus is that he left the glory of heaven, humbled himself, and became one of us. Why? Because he loved us. That is truly wonderful. That is truly indescribably great and beyond human comprehension. I read a parable from the land of Persia. The Persian Empire was once ruled by a great and beloved Shah who cared deeply for his people. And one day he disguised himself as a poor man and went to visit the public baths. And a furnace in the cellar heated the water for the bath. So this great ruler made his way to the dark place to sit with the man who tended the fire. And they shared the meager food, and this great king who was in disguise befriended the man in his loneliness, and day after day he went and visited the man. The fire tender grew very fond of his new friend because there was somebody who met him where he was and cared for him. One day the Shah decided to reveal his true identity to the man, and he expected this poor fire tender to ask for a gift or for money or for a title or a position. But the man looked at him and said, "No, my king, you've given me more than riches or wealth. You've given me yourself." God gave us something far greater than wealth or fame. He gave us himself when he sent Jesus. He came down from heaven and he met us in our mess. Number one, I see the wonder of his birth. Number two, I see the wonder of his life. Jesus lived a life unlike any other. The Bible says of humanity that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, "There is no one righteous, no, not one." That means that we've all failed God in some way. We've all fallen short of his expectations, but not Jesus. Jesus was different. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he knew no sin. Think about that. Jesus lived a sinless life. And you and I know that in human terms, that is just as impossible as a virgin birth. The fact that Jesus lived a human life, yet did not commit a single sin, is nothing short of a wonder. He lived a perfect life. Especially considering that Jesus faced every temptation that you and I have faced. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not, talking about Jesus, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in what?
Every way.
Lying, cheating, adultery, all of it. Jesus was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So the wonder of his life is that he faced every temptation that we faced and he never sinned. Not only did he live a sinless life, he lived a selfless life. That's also a miracle, by the way. Acts 10:38 tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus lived his life to meet the needs of other people. Whenever he met a sick person, he healed them. Whenever he met somebody bound by the devil, he set them free. Whenever he met hungry people, he fed them. Jesus lived a selfless life. He taught about the kingdom of God. He washed people's feet. Can you imagine? Listen to what Jesus said. I ain't gonna wash y'all's feet. I see some of y'all's toes. And my answer is no! But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word in the flesh, humbled himself and washed people's feet. Listen to what he said in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, though he deserved it. Nobody ever walked this planet more worthy to be served than Jesus. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This blows my mind. This is truly beyond my human comprehension. Here was Jesus who deserved to be worshipped. And if anything, people should have died for him, and yet he died for us. If Jesus, the Son of God, lived a selfless life, if he came to be a servant, how much more should you and I, who carry his name, serve others? That's all I'm going to say about that. Number one, the wonder of his birth. Number two, the wonder of his life. Number three, I see the wonder of his love. Not only did Jesus come as God with us, not only did he live a sinless and selfless life, but Jesus did something that nobody was expecting. He died on the cross to save us. There is something wonderful about the love of Jesus, because we were the ones who sinned, and we were the ones who deserved to be punished, and we were the ones who deserved to die. And yet Jesus, who lived a perfect life, willingly laid down his life to save us. What a wonderful Savior. Love, what the Word of God says, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. The love of Jesus is unconditional. It is unending, undeniable, unbeatable. Nobody will ever love you more than Jesus. Bible says in Romans 5, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst, God gave his best. When we deserved nothing, Jesus gave everything. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God loves you. He has always loved you, and he will never stop loving you. I've shared this story before, but it's an incredible true story. One evening, a woman was driving home, and she noticed a large truck behind her that was driving way too close. So she stepped on the gas to gain some distance from the truck, but when she sped up, the truck sped up. The faster she drove, the faster the truck drove. She began to be afraid, so she took the very first exit, and the truck took the exit too and stayed with her. She was desperate, so she ran a red light, and the truck ran a red light and followed right behind her. Not knowing what to do, she pulled into a gas station, jumped out of her car, and ran inside. The truck driver jumped out of his truck, but he didn't follow her. He ran to her car, opened the back door, and pulled out a man who had been hiding in the back seat. This woman was running from the wrong person. She was afraid of the man behind her, but from his vantage point, the truck driver had spotted the man who was out to hurt her. And he was chasing her, not to do her harm, but to save her. Too many people run away from God because they're afraid of what God might do to them. But I want you to know this morning, God is pursuing you not to hurt you, not to harm you. He's pursuing you because he loves you. He says in the Word of God, He says in the Bible that His plans are for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. God is pursuing you not to harm you, but to rescue you from the hidden sins that would threaten to destroy your life. That is the wonder of God's love. If you don't know Him, get to know Him this morning. I want to ask the worship team to come. We're almost done. But I want you to know today that the story doesn't end with Christmas. And the story doesn't end with Easter. The Bible says that Jesus is coming again. And He's coming soon. This is a time of year where we're making all of these preparations for Christmas. The gifts and the family plans and the travel plans and the traffic. Oh, Lord Jesus, I never thought we'd have so much traffic in Goldsboro. I thought we lived in the country in the middle of nowhere to not have that stuff. We're making all of these Christmas preparations. And we're talking a lot about Santa Claus and getting ready. But are you prepared for eternity? Are you making preparations for Jesus to come back? Nobody knows the hour or the day when Jesus is coming. The Bible says that only God the Father knows. But Jesus said that we will recognize the signs of the times. And we know that He's coming back soon. We're reminded of the Word of God in Matthew 24:44. Jesus said, "You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." We might expect Him to come back at Easter, but what if He came back at Christmas time? We must be ready. Trust in Jesus. Be ready when He comes. Will you stand with me as we pray this morning? Lord Jesus, I thank You for the wonder of Your life. I thank You for the wonder of Your birth. I thank You for the wonder, God, that You did what we couldn't do. You lived a perfect, sinless life. And Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that even though we were the ones who were guilty, Lord, we were the ones who were broken. We were the ones who didn't deserve anything. And You were the one who was sinless and perfect. I thank You, Lord, that You willingly laid down Your life to save us and to redeem us. And Lord, I thank You for the wonder of Your love. And Lord, I pray, God, that every person listening right now would know, God, that You love them. Lord, that You've always loved them. Lord, that Your love for them is an everlasting love. There's nothing they could ever say or do, Lord, to make You stop loving them. You said in Your Word, nothing will ever separate us from Your love. Lord, may they know that You love them and care for them, God. That You love them right now where they are. Lord, that You love them even the way they are, but You love them too much to let them stay that way. Lord, that Your love is a life-changing love. Your love is proactive love. Lord, we can't change ourselves. We can't break the power of sin. Lord, but You in Your love can change us and set us free. And God, if there's anybody here who doesn't know You, I pray, God, that they would come to know You this morning. Lord, that they would walk in the hope that only comes from You, that they would experience the life and the joy that only You give. Thank You, Jesus. If you don't know Him this morning, you can know Him today. The Bible says that we're saved by faith. That means that you can't earn salvation. You receive it as a gift from God. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have peace in your heart. You don't have peace in your mind. You don't have the hope of heaven. Open your heart to Him today. Invite Jesus in. Receive Him by faith and make Him the Lord of your life today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. Can we pray this prayer together? Let's pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You're the truth. I believe You're the way. I believe You're the only Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And with Your help, I'll follow You. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. If you made Jesus Lord of your life today or any day, will you just worship big this morning? Will you just lift up your hands and you lift up your voice? Can we just praise Him? Lord, we thank You. We thank You for hope. We thank You for freedom. We thank You, Jesus, for the wonder of Your love, for all that You've done, All that you did for us, God, even when we deserved nothing, Lord, you gave it all for us. And Lord, we just thank you and we worship you. We thank you, Jesus, that you came for us and that you're coming for us again. Lord, that we have this hope in you, God. And we thank you. We worship you and we praise you.